Good evening. Thank you for joining us for Health Talks on Catch the Flavor Youth Radio here on Radio Regent. I'm your host for tonight, Diamond. Moving through high school can bring a whole new level of stress. Increased workloads and the prospect of life after high school can loom large for youth. A survey commissioned by Children's Health, Mental Health Ontario, with respondents including parents with children under the age of 25, 18 to 24 years olds, exploring current situations, and 25 to 34 year olds, reflecting on their experiences as youth, suggests that children and parents miss school and work to cope with mental illness. Thus, today we will discuss our experiences with anxiety as well as how we can better cope with it. Welcome. So, how do you cope with anxiety and stress? Have you ever experienced overwhelming anxiety, and how do you cope with it?
I usually listen to music or go through YouTube music videos. So, yeah, that's usually how it calms you down because it's a good kind of distraction.
Mm-hmm. I would write in a journal, and I would just, like, walk close to nature and reflect.
I guess I have experienced anxiety, and I guess how I cope with it is sort of realizing that what is making me anxious can be broken into smaller, manageable pieces.
Mm-hmm.
So once I take care of those smaller pieces, then the anxiety kind of goes away, and I can sort of move on and find my triggers later so that I don't get anxious again.
Yeah. Joel, how do you manage with anxiety or stress?
Well, wow, it's kind of deep here. Okay. Lots of music, I guess. Lots of slow kind of music. I like to go to the library. It's a nice, calm place for me. It's basically my escape.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, because you have to hear the pages turn, you know?
Yeah.
A nice, calm, quiet place to ease the mind, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's how I cope with stress.
Well, for me, I've realized over the past 2 years that I'm not sure if I have, like, panic attacks or anxiety attacks, but I feel like I do. I'm still trying to figure out for myself, you know, self-diagnosis before going to the doctors, because that's just how, you know, Jamaicans are.
Yeah,
self-diagnose.
That's true.
You know, so for me, I become, like, I have high anxiety when I fall behind, and I personally believe or feel like I can't
catch up.
Because I overthink everything, you know, I'm a perfectionist.
Same here.
So, like, even having that one major assignment or something I'm supposed to do, I don't get to it. And I feel like it just piles up and up to the point I avoid it. And, you know, sometimes I end up not going to school like we're going to talk about today. I end up missing school because I feel like I feel like I'm being singled out by the teacher. Like, I miss so many things. I don't want to have that one-to-one talk with the teacher, even though, you know, that's what you're supposed to do. And I'm not behind on any work, so I'm trying really hard to just, like, you know, stay organized and not go through that again, because it's a horrible feeling. So, in accordance to the survey, 62% of youth reported having concerns about anxiety, and 46% of them reported missing school because of it. What aspects of school, as well as outside factors, do you think may be the cause of students feeling overwhelming anxiety?
Peer pressure.
Mm. Can you talk more about it? What do you mean by peer pressure?
Like, handing assignments on the due date, but you're not, like, quite there yet.
Mm-hmm. What about, like, social cliques and things like that? Do you think that has to do something with anxiety?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Earlier on, you have to remember that when you start school, you're sort of coming from a place of consistency. When you're little, you're always home, so you always know what your routine is at home. But then you're being thrown into this place where there are kids like you, but they're mm-hmm. strangers.
Yeah.
And everyone else is just trying to find their place. When you're little and you know this person wants to be my friend, but tomorrow this person doesn't,
mm-hmm.
it does a lot, and you grow up with it. You grow up feeling sort of misplaced or lost or whatever.
Yeah.
So I think that has a lot to do with it. But as you, for me and my experience, as I grew older, I was the kid that sort of fit with everybody.
Mm.
Yeah. I was a kid that fit with everyone. So I had that problem, but as I got older, I learned to find my sort of place, quote unquote, within my school system. And it helps that the peers that I had followed me from elementary school into middle school, into high school. So I have those prior connections already. So it wasn't something that was so alarming for me.
Yeah. Do you guys think there's any other factors?
Like parents being a big issue, expectations from them.
Mm-hmm.
I know that can be a big effect on youth. So,
Yeah. What about things like, you know, the future? Because I feel like that's what I struggle with.
The future.
Like, I wonder too much about, or what I did struggle with, too much about the future. Like, you know, when you're on that last year, the last stretch of high school, and that huge, you know, commotion of going to the right university, going to the right college, how does that affect and add to the anxiety and stress of school?
That's a huge, huge decision, especially for a high school kid, because it's leading into life. It's leading into moving on. It's leading into adulthood.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you're a young kid, you want to, oh, I want to be this great person. But when you get there, you're not ready for the time to become.
You need to be independent.
You know what I mean?
You have to depend on yourself.
Exactly. But a lot of young kids are not ready for that. You know what I mean? And that's a big, huge step. I think the parents should at least talk to them and give their experiences before they go to university.
Mm-hmm.
But if they didn't, but talk to young kids their age.
Yeah.
To know what, or older brothers or sisters for advice. Right? Because you can learn a lot from the older people. That's my opinion on that.
And just to elaborate on what Joel said, talking to somebody before diving into that experience is super, super important. Because when I got into high school wasn't something that was competitive. You just sort of went based on where you lived. So you were guaranteed somewhere. Mm-hmm. Now when you apply for university or high school or what, you're fighting against thousands and thousands of kids. And you're wondering, is my average good enough? Is this good enough? Have I done this? So having that support and talking to other people that have gone through that experience is very important, especially since, like, when I was younger, I said I wanted to be a pediatrician. Last year of high school, now they're telling me prerequisites about calculus and chemistry and biology, and I'm like, nope, bye, social work.
That's exactly what happened
so
to me.
When you're in that last year of high school, it's like you hit a wall, and it just sort of shifts you and wakes you up, and you're like, oh my God, what next?
Mm-hmm.
So I think just to soften that blow, you really need to talk to people that have gone through it and get that support.
Yeah. For me, I felt like I hit that in grade 11 because I took an extra year, and I'm a part of that generation that only has 4 years of high school.
Yeah.
My mother had the 5 years with the grade 13. So a lot of people feel like, honestly, I felt like I got cut. Like, I could have totally benefited from that 13
years,
which I did. But, like, then you also have that anxiety about what other people think about you.
Yeah.
Because no one wants to do a leap year, right? They thought, oh, we're so bad. But then you hear teachers talking about, oh, we had that year. Like, it's fine to have that leap year. But having that social pressure from people thinking, oh, you can't take that. You can't do everything which you can't pass.
Yeah.
By the fourth year, they think you need that extra time because you're not making, you know, getting those high grades. And for me, when I lived in Scarborough, the closest high school for me was the athletic school. Like, I didn't really think much of it, like, you know, but a lot of the other schools around me, I had like St. Tech and, like, you know, R.H. King, which is like, they have specific specialized schools. Mm. St. Tech was like technology and, you know, things like STEM and all that stuff. And R.H. King was leadership. And a lot of people wanted to go to those schools. So, you know, as you choose high schools, you go, like, the class takes you to take, like, tours and all those things.
Yeah.
So what I want to do, I wanted to be a veterinarian, you know, because I just liked, you know, being with animals and all that stuff. And like you said, with wanting to be a pediatrician, once you get to grade 12 and you realize, oh, you have to do calculus, you have to do physics, you have to do all these
that
things,
wakes you up.
Right? That's exactly what happened to me. But I got to that point in grade 11 when you had that course for civics and careers.
Yeah.
I had careers. And it that whole course was talking about who you are as a person. And I was so confused. I felt anxious and I don't know. I would sit down and look at questions like, who am I?
Yeah.
I had that existential crisis. And I was just I don't know nothing about myself. What I thought were my dreams are not actually what I want to do anymore. I went to be a veterinarian since I was a kid. Then I went to doing pathology, forensic pathology, then going back to veterinary science, and then just doing the research of all the schools and knowing that there's only a handful of veterinary schools in Canada. And looking about the process, I literally felt like I couldn't do it.
You can do it.
Yeah. I couldn't do it. I thought I wasn't smart enough to do it. Math is not my strength. I'm more of a social science person, philosophy and those things. So what I want to do, I feel like it better suits me, which I'm thankful for those courses because, it actually helped me even though I had that time of feeling the anxiety to do certain things to get to certain places because I see everybody else with me. And I'm doing the most doing, summer school for calculus, and I know that I can't do calculus. But I'm thinking that I need to get to these places, get to do these things because the people around me are doing it, right? Mm-hmm. But like you were saying, it's exactly like that. And I feel like the schools do talk about it, but I don't think they go into depth with it. They understand what you're going through, but I feel like every generation is different, right?
They don't seem to understand. You have the anxieties.
Yeah.
So it's pushing you.
Yeah, and it's also how the stereotypes of teens. Oh, you don't have depression. You don't have anxiety because you don't get to do...
You'll get over it.
Yeah, you don't experience this and this and that. How do you guys feel about people or society using these stereotypes to kind of, burden us, trying to push away the actual problems that's in front of us?
If I can be straight up with that, I hate that.
Mm-hmm.
I hate that because they make it seem like it's your fault you have anxiety, it's your fault you have depression, that you chose to have this moment where you're having a panic attack and you feel like you're going to die.
Mm-hmm.
You controlled it, and it's not something that's not controlled. It's just life circumstance that sort of came in the way and made you feel the way you feel,
mm-hmm.
right? And people need to understand that life is defined by circumstance. Not everybody is sort of the same or monolithic.
Yeah.
Like that. Mm-hmm. So when people are like, oh, get over it, why do you have this? Why do you feel this way? I hate that because mm-hmm. don't discount what I'm going through because you don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Some people don't know, anxieties, know about the anxieties and the symptoms and all that.
Mm-hmm. So do you think the school board has effective plans in place to tackle anxiety within the student body? And what can they do to improve and excel?
I think they should talk to the parents more about this. Mm-hmm. Have group assemblies with the kids. Because number one, it's their kids. It's their child going into schools, and teachers should be more aware of their children's well-being. Once you step into that building, you belong to the property of the school, right?
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people, a lot of kids, they don't have anywhere to turn to.
Yeah.
Where you think in elementary school, they're going to trust their friends or their teachers? No. It should be an environment that you feel comfortable talking to someone who can help you, a guidance counselor, someone.
Mm-hmm.
But like I said, in my opinion, I think the teachers are in it for the money. And to stop the problem, you have to have, you have to make awareness about the issue.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So
it's not their responsibility.
Exactly.
I had very good teachers that made sure mm-hmm. that I was taken care of. And that started from home because African mother baby over here, only child. Whenever I started a new year, my mother would always walk with me to the classroom and not even look at me, but dead look the teacher in the face and mm-hmm. say, you know what? This is my only child. She's brilliant. She's smart. She can do the work like other kids. She may be going through different circumstances, but she can do the work.
Mm-hmm.
And she's a good kid. But when I leave here and I leave my child with you, Erica is your child.
Mm-hmm.
this is your child, so you treat her like she's yours. If she wants to come to you and confide something in you,
yeah.
you open up and you let her tell you how she's feeling.
Mm-hmm.
So I had very good teachers that did that because my mother put that in place from the first day of school.
Mm, yeah.
And I think a lot of parents should do that.
Do any of you guys have an experience maybe similar to Erica's where you had a teacher that you could talk to or confide in, or that you had a negative experience and was able to maybe not even talk to a teacher, maybe like any sort of staff or any friend within us, maybe like a school setting or even a work setting that you could talk to?
I had teachers also. I had an English teacher. Mr. Hughes. My grades weren't really that good, and I was afraid that my godparents weren't going to be that happy, but he said that you had been trying really hard in the class, and he said he would talk to them, and sure enough, they understood that there were just some things I needed to work on to bring my grade up. This was in the middle of the semester, and I was able to do better when I worked on some things that I couldn't understand in the English class.
Mm-hmm.
There was another teacher. His name was Mr. Knight. I used to always talk to him after school about what happened at home or what happened in class. I talked to him for 4 years, and I really enjoyed being able to have a teacher like that. So those were fond memories of me. So.
Mm-hmm. Do you think, well, in universities, they have environments such as where they have, like, let's say, for example, like dogs or pets they can use to help ease anxiety and stress and things like that. Do you think they should have that in high school, even elementary school?
Yes.
I think so. Pet therapy.
Yeah. therapy. I'm not an animal person, but I believe that, animals are calming things. Animals are calming things. So, yeah, I totally believe in that, that, you know, if animals can help in universities or colleges. I don't know if they have this at my school, but just anything that you're okay with. If you're okay with music, go into a music room and chill a little bit. I did that in music in high school.
Yeah.
And because of that, to this day, I have a relationship with my music teacher still. I left there almost 10 years ago, and I still have a relationship with her. So just any environment within a school setting that can calm you down and get rid of the anxiety, go find that place and chill and mellow out.
Mm-hmm. So other findings of the survey state that 50% of youth who sought help found it challenging to get mental health services, as well as 40% of parents who sought help for their child are still waiting. Why do you think that there is a lack of mental health services for youth in Toronto?
Because a lot of people... like suffer from it, but they don't really know.
I also believe there could be mental health and addiction workers that could be present in the school where youth can be able to have a conversation, a voice of their own, to be able to communicate their feelings, their thoughts, everything about themselves regarding what might be bothering them. So,
Beverly, do you want to continue what you were saying before?
Sorry.
What was it?
Oh, why we think there's a lack of mental services in Toronto?
Because some people aren't like aware they have it, so they need to get that right help before
Joel?
It gets worse. Yeah.
You're awfully quiet over there.
I also.
It's okay, you guys want to talk?
Yeah, I think the cost of it might be a big issue too for parents.
Funding.
I just feel that the idea of being able to get diagnosed might be a hard thing for parents because the money might be a lot. I think it's around $3,000 to get a psychoeducational assessment done or more. But on that note, there is a bursary out there for that. Not trying to advertise or anything. It's the Learning Disabilities Association. So check it out. It really might help you. So
I've got a question for that. Like, why does it cost so much money? And if we have a health card, shouldn't it be free for all Canadians? But why is it so expensive?
That's a good question.
Yeah,
we had the
government.
We have like the Ontario health card. Sorry, if you go to the old HIP card, right? But why is it so expensive? Shouldn't your doctor prescribe it to you if you need it?
That's a question for Queen's Park, and it's a very good one. Never thought of it.
You know what I mean? So this is the reason why I think, this is just my opinion, if all Ontarians or Torontonians write the government, this should be passed as a law. Mm-hmm. So you go to your doctor, you say, you know what, I have mental anxiety, whatever you have, whatever. I'm not judging anybody here. Mm-hmm. You go there, the doctor writes you a prescription for what drug you need pertaining to the anxiety or mental illness you have.
But
you know what I mean?
Yeah, but I think that comes down to the specialist part. Like the doctor itself, he's a family physician, so he specializes in one thing. Mm-hmm. It should probably be a referral to...
Yeah.
To like a psychiatrist, whatever?
Yeah,
or?
Yeah, psychiatrist. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, at least a very good psychiatrist.
And doesn't the insurance cover it?
OHIP would.
Yeah, I think OHIP.
Because I have a psychiatrist, and I don't have to pay because I'm able to get counseling at CAMH, the hospital on College and College. College of Spadina. Well, that's the biggest one, but they have another one on Queen. Mm-hmm. So,
is it the Women's College?
No, not the Women's
College. Not the Women's College,
CAMH. CAMH.
Okay.
Yeah. There's also another one called CHMA.
Well, when I was thinking about what you... Well, when I was hearing you guys, I think, not saying that this might be the only factor, but money has to fund, like, you know, go through somewhere. Mm-hmm. It's the means of money.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, how else are they going to, you know, get that dollar?
But how is a person... I also was thinking about how is a person, like, for example, a single mother with three kids going to get the treatment for this condition, you know what I mean? Like, it's an expensive thing. That's why I think the government should get involved in these things.
Yeah.
To help single parents. Like, for example, I'm 31 years old, and I see a lot of young mothers struggle with their kids. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So this is when the government should step in and say, hey, we're going to help you with your child, with the mental illness, or whatever you have. I'm going to give you the funds for free. And I know the government doesn't do this, but they should help or put them in a special needs school or something.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? To me, in my head, it makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
So, ladies, if you have anything to add, feel free to tell me. If I'm wrong, let me know now.
There might be more research. Like, if I think about it, from my personal experience, when I had an early episode of psychosis, it was when I was... 23 or 24, and I talked to a social worker that came to the youth shelter I was at, and she took a taxi with me and took me to CAMH, where I was able to talk to the doctors about how I was feeling and what my symptoms were. And I was able to stay there for a month, where they observed and tried and connect with me in terms of what they can do to help my health. And I was able to talk to a social worker, a psychiatrist, and a doctor there. So after that, I was transferred to a different psychiatrist. So she was my psychiatrist for 3 years before they referred me to another one at one of their locations at Archway. So I ended up not having to pay to see the psychiatrist And I'm still in still connected with them to this very day. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if it's different for other people. In some hospitals might be different.
Yeah.
Depending on the services they can provide for people regarding psychiatrists. Because I know some psychiatrists would charge for you to see their services.
Mm-hmm.
So I was fortunate to not have to pay for that through CAMH. So.
Mm-hmm. So do you guys have any advice on how one can relieve anxiety?
Just do something you enjoy doing.
Mm-hmm. What can parents do? From their side of seeing their children going through, you know, having stress and having anxiety, what can they do at home?
They should, like, stay in touch with the kids.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Open communication. And in that communication, don't take on a tone that blames them or, you know, scolds them or reprimands them for feeling anxious.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, sort of, it's a supportive. Two-way thing, and yeah. Exactly, that's the word I'm missing. I'm not awake today. support. Be a support system, and don't go into that parental mode where, like, why do you have this, and why do you have this? I don't understand it. You shouldn't be. Be a support system, because not only are you there as a guide, and not only are you there to lead your child from the day they're born, but you're also there to support them and lift them up when they can't lift themselves up.
Preach the truth. Preach it. That's right. Mm-hmm.
So sadly, we're all out of time for our first half. Thank you so much to our guests for staying with us and being part of the show. We are all out of time, so stay tuned because we have more to discuss after our musical break.
Story sad to tell, a teenage ne'er-do-well, most mixed up, non-delinquent on the block. Your future so unclear now, what's left of your career now, can't even get a trade in on your smile. Beauty school dropout, no graduation day for you. Beauty school dropout, missed your midterms and flunked shampoo. Well, at least you could have taken time to wash and clean your clothes up after spending all that dough to have the doctor fix your nose up. Baby, get moving. Why keep your feeble hopes alive? What are you proving?
What are you proving?
You've got the dream, but not the drive. If you go for your diploma, you could join a steno crew, turn in your T's and comb, and go back to high school. Beauty school dropout, hanging around the corner store. Beauty school dropout, it's about time score. Well, they couldn't teach you anything. You think you're such a looker, but no customer would go to you unless she was a hooker. Baby, don't sweat it.
Don't sweat it.
You're not cut out to hold a job. Better forget it. Wants their hair done by a slob. Now your bangs are curled, your lashes twirl. Still the world is cruel. Wipe off that angel face, go back to high school. Baby, don't blow it. Don't put my good advice to shame. Baby, you know it. Even dear Abby'd say the same.
now I've called the shot. Get off the pot. I really gotta fly. Gotta be going to that malt shop in the sky. Go back to high school. Beauty school dropout. Go back to high school.
Good evening, everyone. Thank you for joining us for another week of Catch the Flavor, youth radio here on Regent Radio Regent. I'm here, your host, Johanna, tonight. Today we will be talking about scholarships and bursaries for students. Why is it important for students to apply? According to the Globe and Mail, for various reasons, $15 million in scholarships goes unclaimed every year in Canada. Student debt being a rising matter in Canada is a huge issue for students on their way to achieving an education paid by sponsors, family, themselves, the government, such as OSA, or scholarships, bursaries, and grants. I must say that I can relate to those who are currently in debt from previous school years. When I had first applied to university, my uncle on my mother's side paid for 1 year of tuition. However, due to some circumstances, I did not finish the year. In fact, I failed some of my subjects. I attempted to go to university again and applied for OSAP. And that's where I started racking up in student debt. I failed my second attempt at university and officially found it wasn't for me. I experienced homelessness, medical issues, mental illness, and a learning disability in later years. While attempting college, I succeeded in gaining certificates at both Sheridan and George Brown College. I also achieved a mental health conference scholarship. That's George Brown, toward school. Sadly, I now owe thousands in student debt, much like students across the country. I'm currently still thinking about my future options for going back to school and paying my previous student loans. While it is clear tuition and paying off debt is a huge crisis for many students, some people are doing something about it. Tonight's guest is Zubairi Attard. He is a student himself, but creator of his own website that connects students to scholarships and bursaries and actively reaches out to help students secure funding for school. His website is scholarpro.ca. So, tell us about your life and what has made you the person you are today that led you to create a scholarship website.
Sure. Once again, thanks a lot for having me on the website. Having me on the show today.
No problem.
Yeah. So a long time ago, a couple of years ago, I was in very unfortunate circumstances. To give you an example, at 16, I was briefly homeless.
Oh.
And at that time, I wanted to change my life. I wanted to go to school, and I wanted to make something out of myself, except I didn't have any money, right?
Yes.
So I was really fortunate. There was a family that is still very close to me, and, they're not blood related, but they took me out of the shelter, and they helped me get back on my feet. So I went back to school, and later I ended up moving to Toronto. And I went to school again, and I had some family helping me out.
Oh, okay.
Hello?
Yes.
Sorry, for some reason, my phone's cutting out. And when I was in basically in my extra or 13th year of high school, if you could say, and I was wondering how I was going to pay for university or pay for my living expenses. I had no idea. Then someone told me about scholarships, and I went to 5 different high schools. Nobody told me about the scholarship.
Really?
Yeah. I was like, sorry, were you going to say something?
No, sorry. That must have been hard. I mean, weren't there guidance counselors? Weren't there teachers that would voice an opinion on scholarships then?
Well, I just never got told about it. It was probably because for most of my high school career, I was not a good student at all. I was a very horrible student. I skipped an average of 200 classes a year, for example.
An average of 200 classes?
Yes.
Wow.
I was really in a bad place. In the last school that I went to, the 13th school, I started going to classes and getting involved, so maybe that's why they started telling me about it, but yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I was like, oh my goodness, so someone's going to give me thousands of dollars to go to school for free. So once I heard that, I was sold, okay?
Yes.
I went crazy. I looked for them. I had a lot of people help me find these awards and apply for them. And I worked really hard. And the next thing I knew, I started winning scholarships. And thus far, I've gotten $50,000 in free money from 15 different awards.
Wow, that's impressive.
Thank you. And it wouldn't have happened if it wasn't for the help of all those great people, mentors.
Yes.
And the reason why I started Scholar Pro was because I started realizing I could help other people win money. So I tested it. I helped a few students win some scholarships, and I was like, wow, it just gave me a great feeling, and I wanted to do it for the rest of my life. So, yeah.
Wow, that's amazing. I mean, helping people and being able to win, it must have really put you on the path to what would be like a career or a lifelong goal.
That's exactly right. That's exactly what happened. Yeah.
So what is a scholarship or bursary? What is the difference between them, and why is it important for people to apply?
So a scholarship is usually free money for people who have done some sort of activity. Now, most people think that you have to have good grades to get a scholarship. For example, there are scholarships for getting good grades. Mm-hmm. There are scholarships for being an athlete. There are also scholarships for doing a bunch of random stuff like community work, for people who can write poems. There's endless types of scholarships. And a bursary is more so for someone who is either A, in some sort of difficult circumstance, and this could be someone who's poor or has financial need. It could be someone who's suffering from a disease. It could be for someone who perhaps got diagnosed with any sort of disability.
Okay, like a mental illness or a physical disability or any health issue, of course, that I can't really recall right now.
Exactly. Exactly. And the reason why people should apply is because it's free money, okay?
Yes.
It's free money, first of all. Second of all, a lot of the times when people get scholarships, they get to go to award ceremonies in their honor. So the organization, the private organization that gives out the scholarship, will have an award ceremony, politicians will be there, CEOs of companies will be there, successful people will be there, and they'll have all of their attention on you as the person getting the award, right?
Right.
So it's a really great networking opportunity. And actually, some of my clients, they've gotten internships in law firms, jobs in the field. They've gotten invited to speak at conferences, these are very hard things to get as a youth. And scholarships is really the gateway. It really makes you stand out from the rest. This is why I feel people should apply. It's not just about money. It's about the long-term game. It's about standing out from everyone else who has a degree. That's why I think people should apply.
Okay. What can you tell us about kinds of scholarships and bursaries out there?
Sure. Would you like some specific examples or just general examples?
Both.
Sure. Okay. So I'll start with a few specific examples. Now, here are some scholarships that... Here, I'm going to name some of the big scholarship awards. And these are primarily for students graduating high school. Have you ever heard of the Loran Award?
No.
So you can only get this when you're graduating high school. I wish I knew about it.
Okay.
It's $100,000, and they hook you up with elite mentors. And, for example, I remember seeing that one of the mentors they had in the Loran program, so they gave these people $100,000, and they hooked them up with, for example, the Finance Minister of Canada, or Bill Monroe.
Oh, wow.
Right, it's incredible, and then they give out around 30 of those a year, and then the TD Communities Leadership Award is given out by TD. That's $70,000, and I believe they also give you a job at the bank. Right?
Wow.
The Skulik Award is for people who are in STEM, science, technology, engineering, math, graduating high school. I believe you have to get nominated by your school. It's $80,000.
Wow, $80,000.
Okay, so two of those awards, I believe the Loran and the TD. The TD, they're not highly focused on your grades. They're more focused on the impact you're having in the community.
Okay.
So, now for bursaries, one that I could think of, it's called the CST Learning Matters Bursary. So it's $2,500, and it's for people who are in financial need. And I'm going to give an example of some very, very, some more specific ones. So have you ever heard of the BBPA, the Black Business Professional Association?
No, I haven't.
So this is primarily for students who identify as Black or Black Canadians.
Mm-hmm.
So this is an organization that's actually, I believe, downtown Toronto. They have $150,000 in scholarships, and they only give them to Black students.
Okay, wow.
Right? And there are tons of very specific scholarships and bursaries. They have bursaries, for example, if there's anyone out there who had someone hurt by a drunk driver or who was hurt themselves by a drunk driver, there's a bursary for $8,000 given out by Mothers Against MADD, Mothers Against Drunk Drivers, I believe. Yeah.
Okay.
So yeah.
Wow.
And for general ones, if someone looks up something called 7 Binary Options Scholarship, you literally just tell them what you want to do with your life, and you win $3,000. That's an example right there.
7 Binary Options?
Options Scholarship.
Okay. Wow. And that's for any age?
Any age? I don't remember. It might be 18 year old, or I'm not entirely sure.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
So how come so many scholarships and bursaries goes unclaimed for a year? And as the founder of Scholar Pro, what is it you're about, and how do you help students to overcome the issue of applying for the right scholarship and or bursary?
Sure. Okay, so there are so many reasons why scholarships go unclaimed. One of them is because a lot of these organizations that give out the scholarships, I primarily focus on private organizations that give out scholarships. They have a hard time promoting their award. They have a really hard time just putting the word out. And, you know, every student I've talked to, talking to hundreds, have a very difficult time finding scholarships. They will spend hours online Googling stuff, and they won't find anything. It's very hard for them to find stuff that applies just for them. Or there are some free scholarship matching web services out there, except from what all the students are telling me, what I've experienced is they don't really get matched properly. So you fill in a huge form, and you still won't get matched properly with the scholarship. So that really, really discourages students. So it's hard to promote. Students you know, sometimes they don't have enough time to look for them. That's another thing. And another reason why some of them go unclaimed is because some of the award criteria is so specific, people don't even understand, people don't even think to look for a scholarship for, in that category. For example, I forget what the scholarship is called, but there is a scholarship out there that is for people who want to grow bees. Okay?
Grows bees?
Grow bees, like the insect, if it's an insect, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Okay, I heard about something else. I don't know if it's given out anymore, but there's a scholarship for tall people.
Tall people?
Yes.
Tall people. Wow. That must be
Isn't that bizarre?
Yeah, that is bizarre.
Right?
So how tall? 6 foot? 7 foot?
You know what? I don't know, but what I did hear is that no one was applying for it, and someone who was like 5'11 got it.
Oh. Okay. Lucky them.
So the thing is, yeah, because but no one's going to think to Google that. They're going to think, oh, scholarship for good grades or whatever, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the second and one of the biggest reasons why scholarships go unclaimed is because students don't have most students, even if they're superstars, they're getting 90s, they're volunteering and all sorts of stuff. They don't have confidence in themselves for whatever reason. They think that awards are really competitive. They think, usually they think that you need to be a superstar. Even, and this isn't true. You don't need to have good grades. I don't have good grades. You don't need to even be super involved with a lot of these awards. So people just think that, and it sucks that they're just not eligible and they're not worthy for the scholarship, and it's not true. People out there, these organizations, they're trying to give students money because they understand what it's like, you know, to go through school with barely any funds. So, yeah, those are the few reasons that I picked up on.
Okay. Your website is based in Ottawa. Is there any chance that students like myself in Toronto or anywhere in Ontario can apply to your program?
Yes. So right now I'm partnered with my Carleton CUSA, Carleton University Students Association, mostly focused on Carleton students. However, because right now I'm a one-man show, I am accepting some students from outside of the university.
Okay.
Just not in bulk right now. When I get my services automated, then I'll definitely be expanding. But yes, you know, I will accept a few students here and there. Oh, sorry, I didn't answer your other question. The way that I help students is I do two things. So they sign up on my website, they fill in their criteria, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then based on their criteria, I match them to a list of scholarships in my database. My database has $21 million in scholarships, 6,000 awards from over 500 different organizations in Canada. So there's a lot of scholarships pretty much anyone.
Okay.
Number two, I don't just give them a list of scholarships. I actually help them with the application process. So there's that as well. And there's a lot of ways to do that. So yes, that is my answer to that.
Thank you. Do you feel that there are scholarships or bursaries for high school, college, university dropouts, people who are homeless? In other words, is there a scholarship for everyone out there?
So when it comes to scholarships, I can answer each one of those categories. So for high school students, for graduating high school students, there's so much money in scholarships, it's unbelievable. For undergraduates, graduates, yes, for college students, there's scholarships for all those categories. When it comes to university dropouts and homeless people, from what I've seen, I would say, unless I come across a scholarship that's different, 99% of the scholarships require you just to be enrolled in school. They just require you to be enrolled as a student. So if you've dropped out of school and you're not enrolled, you won't be able to apply for the scholarship specifically because they will ask you for proof of enrollment.
Okay.
That answers your question. However, there are what I like to call scholarship contests. So there are essay contests out there that don't require you to be a student. There aren't a lot of them in my database, but they're out there. Okay. But you can just win free money, and you don't have to be in school.
Okay. Is there anything you would like to add?
Yes, absolutely. For anyone out there, I'd definitely just like to say, please apply for scholarships. Just apply. Even if you spend 10 hours on a scholarship application and you get $1,000, that's $100 an hour. It's the best way to get money as a student. And there's one more thing I would say. The longer you wait, the less money there is available for you. For example, I just named off the Skulik Award earlier, the Loran Award, and the TD Community Scholarship. You can only get those when you're graduating high school, and that's already $250,000. If you don't apply, if you don't put in the effort, or you don't prepare for those awards, you already would have missed $250,000, and you'll never be able to get that again. You know what I mean?
Yes.
So students out there, and people can say whatever they want, but I hate when people tell this to high school students. Oh, don't worry about your future. Don't worry about anything. Don't stress out. Don't volunteer. You'll figure it out later. What I suggest is if the younger you are, volunteer more. Start volunteering. Get involved right away. You know, try hard, because what's going to happen is most students in high school, or the younger you are, most students or most people that are young, I mean, I'm not saying there aren't people out there that are volunteer and try hard in school, but when you're in high school, the competition is much lower.
Oh, you know? Okay.
So when you try something, it's going to be worth double. But once you go into university, the competition is going to get higher. Now, it doesn't mean that you can't win scholarships in university. You know, you don't have to be a superstar to win scholarships. Believe me, there's $15 million that goes unclaimed every year in Canada in scholarships.
Mm-hmm.
But what I would suggest is do not wait to get started. That's all I have to say.
Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. Thank you. Sorry, were you going to say something?
Oh, yes, I am closing off. Well, that's all the time we have here. I'd like to thank our guest for his time, his wisdom, and all we had to talk about. I'd like to add some information for what you might want to consider in looking for scholarships and bursaries on the websites of your school of your choice or elsewhere. Consider what your multicultural background is. If you have a learning or a physical disability, do you have a mental illness? What is your citizenship and your financial situation for a bursary or your living situation? What barriers have you faced in order to find money to fund your education? How are you facing these barriers and transitioning to a better path regarding these? And why is it essential for you to gain support for your journey to education? Also, I'd like to thank you for listening to another edition of Catch the Flavor Youth Radio. Tune in next time for another edition of our show at the same time, every Tuesday from 6 to 7 p.m. Until then, please stay tuned for Murphy Brown right after our musical break. Have a great night.